Austin Center for Spiritual Living presents Use Your Power of Decision to Enhance Your Innate God Expression, a talk given by Reverend Dr. Richard Imprescia on Sunday, February 3rd, 2013.
I'm going to change a little bit of the order of what I'm going to be talking about here today and give you a little poem. And the poem goes like this. When you have come to the edge of all the light you know and are about to step off into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing one of two things will happen. Chokes me up. There will be something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly. Isn't that magnificent? That is anonymous. I don't know who wrote it. I've had it around for years, and you've heard me quote it numerous times. But it's very appropriate at this moment. Thank you again, Lisa, so much. And good morning, everybody. Now, how do I start? Having jumped ahead, I'll have to readjust as I go. Golly. I want to start with a quotation by Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great 19th century transcendentalist, when he said this: the only person you are destined to become is the person you decide to be. Now, that's kind of a shocker for a lot of people, because that talks about the relativity of this idea of destiny and the responsibility that you have in determining that, and the choice that you have in the process of your own life. The title of our talk this morning is Use the Power of Decision to Enhance Your Innate God Expression. And boy, that is a mouthful, isn't it? Because it talks about God expression, innate God expression, which implies, wow, there may be something in me that I don't fully understand or appreciate. And secondly, it says there's a power in my word. There's a power in what I decide to do and put it all together, and I can really enhance my experience of life. You know, there's a little blurb that appears, oh, here, I have it, I wrote it down here, that goes along with this sermon this morning. And it reads like this, and I thought this is appropriate to repeat to you. It's in your bulletin, by the way. When you turn away from your limitations and affirm the truth of your innate divine self, you recognize that everything you could possibly need to be fulfilled is already present. Then, all that is needed is the courage to give to life the best that you have. You will find that the mere act of giving is an affirmation of the gifts and the skills you possess. This prepares you to receive all that life offers. I had a friend by the name of Luis del Aguila. He was a minister in the First Church of Religious Science in Albuquerque years ago. He left Albuquerque in 1979. It was right about the time that I was working on moving into the ministry. I didn't, at the time that Luis said to me what I'm about to repeat to you, I was not quite sure yet, or I guess I wasn't quite willing to admit that I really wanted to be a minister. It took another moment of temporary insanity to bring me to that point. But I remember one of the classes that I was taking. I was taking the third year studies of science of mind. It was a 30-week long course. And I would drive all the way from Santa Fe, where I lived and had lived for several years, to Albuquerque to go to these weekly classes. And one night we were talking about spiritual mind treatment, which is our fancy word for affirmative prayer. And he made the comment to the class. He says, well, you know, in large part, well, actually, he was from Peru, a little short Peruvian Indian type, and had this deep, booming voice. Well, you know, students, the main thing, most important thing about, I sound like an Italian, don't I? Yeah, well, anyway, so let me put it in an English accent, San Francisco accent. He said, One of the main things about doing spiritual mind treatment is that it brings you to the point of making a decision. He says it's just making a decision. At least that's the start. I looked up the word decision, and it means making up your mind. And then I got to thinking about this a little bit, and I thought, but there's a preliminary step to making up your mind, and that's getting clear on what it is you're wanting to do. I'm going to be talking about effective decision-making here today. And I think you'll see how this infuses virtually every aspect of our lives. As a matter of fact, it determines our life. Effective prayer is really a decision-making process. And there's certain characteristics associated with decision-making processes. And they are these. Expectation, that is, expect to be able to receive or develop an expectation for what it is you want to receive. Accept, that is, having a willingness to accept what will unfold and come to you. Third is trust. Trust in that process. Have a gratitude for whatever comes. And then have patience in the whole process that's surrounding your decision-making process. And I'll come back to these three. Expect, accept, trust, gratitude or thanksgiving, and patience. But I want to talk a little bit first about barriers to effective decision-making. There's fear. That's one of a big one. And most of our fear, I can't think of an exception to this, really. I think all fear is based in the future. All fear is based on what we anticipate might happen. Now, I know there can be very, very immediate fears, like you step out in a busy traffic and see a car coming to you, but that's still anticipating that that car, which is still, the collision is still in the future, is going to come. It's a little bit different sort of thing, but I'm talking about how we dwell on things so much that tend to be in the future, they reside in the future, and like Mark Twain said, you know, I worried about an awful lot of things, most of which never came about. And I think that's true. We spend an awful lot of time fearful or worrying. So that's one. Another one is fear of the unknown. And it was at this point that I was going to quote that little poem that I gave you in connection with a few words. But the one thing that really got me is that last line, there will be something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly. But this brings us right back to some of those characteristics of decision making, which have to do with trust, don't they? The second one of the barriers, I think, that we have to deal with is simply the lack of clarity, which was implied in something that I just said a moment ago. The lack of clarity, the lack of being specific about what it is that you think it is that's important to you. And so we equivocate, we dance all around that. And I believe that the lack of clarity that a lot of us have is not because we don't have the information or the details or the intellect, the intelligence to be able to assess what's going on. I think it's often because of a lack of motivation, and a lack of motivation about what it is we think we want to do arises often because there's no real meaning, or we cannot identify the meaning or the purpose within whatever it is we're making a decision around. Do you get what I'm talking about? If you have a strong sense of the contribution that you're going to be making, gee, you're motivated to do it, and you step forward, and sometimes you do some dumb things, go in several different directions, but it doesn't matter. You keep moving, and each step along the way opens another door that allows you the opportunity to decide the next door that you're going to step through. The third thing, and I think is so very, very important, or barrier, that I want to refer to here is what I call self-acceptance. Some people will say self-worth, self-esteem, self-love, whatever, and those are all related to these ideas. But self-acceptance, how many of us really have a sense of self-acceptance? And without that, we're very tentative about making decisions to move us into where we want to be. And then the final of these four, and then there are many, many more barriers that we can encounter that interfere with effective decision-making, but it's this thing called courage. So very often, we will come to a point where we find ourselves stymied. We will look at the situation or the circumstance we're dealing with, and we'll see two alternatives. We'll see the alternative of change, that is doing something. And then we see the other alternative is to do nothing. And neither one of them is acceptable to us. So we sit and we equivocate between these until someone or something outside us comes along and pushes us, forces us in a direction, and we've had no decision in the matter. It takes courage to move past that, rather than to reject those two alternatives and begin to use your creative imagination to open yourself to other possibilities. I call when we get to that point of being stymied, I call that a mental log jam. We all have a picture of a log jam. We've seen pictures in the movies of these logs going down. You know, they've been chopped down up in the forest and then transported to the river, and they start going down the river, and the next thing you know, one gets cattywampus to it, and then another one, and then the next thing you know, they lock together, and it creates a jam. And then what happens? The pressure begins to build, and then builds and builds and builds, and then there's a rupture, and then with the rupture there's turbulence and there's chaos, and sometimes the rupture has to be created. Sometimes they have to go out and dynamite the thing, create an explosion to break it through, and then it begins to smooth out. There's a relief. The confusion, general confusion, settles out of it, and the chaos subsides, and there's an adaptation. But in the process, there's been a lot of debris left behind. And I liken this analogically to what happens in our own minds, our own lives, around our resistance sometimes to making a decision to be able to move in a direction, even if it might not be the perfect direction, but one in which other doors will open to show your error, the error of your ways, if you will. But a lot of times we get into our own log jams, our own mental log jams, and sometimes we've got to break through them with some kind of a shock. Which reminds me of a little story about the nun that goes to her doctor, and she has the hiccups, and her hiccups are so bad. And he gives her some medication, and he gives her some exercise, and she goes home. And then she comes back, and she says, "Doctor, for 3 days now, I've just hiccup, and I tried everything that possible that you have given me." And he says, "Okay, go on into that examination room. I'll be in there in a moment." And he comes in a few minutes later, and he does a few tests, and he says, "I'll be right back." He walks out. He got to assess the test. And he comes back in, and he says, "First of all," he says, "I don't know how to tell you this, but I got to let you know, you're pregnant." The hiccups disappeared. Now, that's a shock, a cute little story, but that's a shock. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had the hiccups and been shocked out of the hiccups. Yeah, I have. But sometimes that sort of thing does happen. I talked a little bit about the characteristics of effective decision making. Expect, accept, trust, be grateful, and patience. Now I want to make this a little bit personal to you. So I want you to think about the questions that I'm going to formulate around each one of these characteristics. I'm not going to give you a lot of time, and we're not going to have a lot of feedback. We're not going to get into discussion this morning. I don't know. We have a little bit of time. Maybe I can. No.
We got lunch here.
That's right. We want to get. I tell you, this the smell of the aroma of the food is driving me crazy. So we want to get onto our potluck. But I want you to think about this question. First one, I talked about expectation. Ask yourself, what is my expectation of me? Of myself. What is my expectation of myself? Or make it plural, expectations. Go back and look at that. Where were you last week in consideration of what your expectations of which would unfold? Go back to when you were a child. Are you pursuing the kinds of things that you thought were so important for your expression in this life? What are my expectations of me? Let's move on to the next one. Ask yourself, do I have a sense of self-acceptance? How acceptable am I to me? Third question. How about self-trust? Do I trust in myself? What do I trust in? How about self-gratitude? How about self-patience, if you will? You see, what we're talking about here is your total overall self-concept. When you bring all these things together, if you have an expectation of yourself that moves you beyond what your wildest dreams are, like I heard that old statement, and I think I've used it a few times, that plan something so great that the only way you can possibly achieve it is with God as your partner. How many people are willing to step out to that degree? But when we bring all this together, when we have a strong expectation of what it is we're going to contribute in life, and we're very accepting of ourselves, and there's a trust, a deep inner trust, and a sense of gratitude for whatever is unfolding in our lives, and then the willingness to kind of sit back, rest, and allow life to unfold according to its own patterns, that is, having patience, we can accomplish incredible things. And sometimes we need to be shocked into an awareness. I remember when I was a young lad, I was just out of high school, either just before or after I got out of high school. I was working two jobs, and one of them was at Bethlehem Steel Company. This was in South San Francisco. And Bethlehem, this was in the nut and bolt department. And no, I was not one. But at any rate, in the nut and bolt department, and I was what was called a pointer. And a pointer, but you see, you take a bolt. I worked with a bolt about that long, about 6 inches long, maybe a half inch in diameter. Had a head on it, but the rest of it was blank. It didn't have a thread on it yet. But before the thread could be put on it, you had to put a little point on it. So I had a machine that would rotate, and it would put like a little conical section on the very end of it that then it could be fed into a threading machine. And that's what I did all day long. I'd reach into a bin right in front of me, and if I ever got low, there was an overhead crane operator to come by and dump some more bolts in there, so I always had plenty of bolts. I'd reach in, I'd take the bolt out, I'd put it into a chuck, I'd clamp it into the chuck, then I would step on a lever, and it would start the chuck going, then I'd reach over to another level, would advance the bolt into the tool that was going to cut it off, and then I had did something else with my other foot, and so I was going all day long like this. Can you imagine? 8 hours a day. And that got my attention. If that wasn't a shocker, I don't know what would have been. And I looked at it and said, you know, I can't do this. I don't want to do that. Now, there were people that had done this, and they'd done this for a long time. One guy had worked a couple of years as a pointer, and it was on a piecework kind of a deal where he got paid for so many pounds. He got his regular wages, but he'd get so much for every pound over a certain minimum level that they had established. And he seemed to like it real well. It was whatever he wanted to. I'm not demeaning the work. I think all work is useful. And that certainly was useful. But I didn't want to do it. And it shocked me into the awareness. How many jobs are there like this? So that's when I decided to do something else. And then I had to be shocked out of that one till, well, anyway, and the story goes on and on and on. But that's the way life is. You see, how much does your sense of self influence where you are in life, where you're living, where you work, what you buy, your selection of mate, the decisions you make? How much does your sense of self influence the decisions that you make? Say, well, I don't know how to get past that. Well, you know, I don't know how to tell you to get past that either. keep praying and meditating and learning and understanding and opening until you begin to get the sense of more of who you are. And at the same time, sometimes you just gotta do it. You know, the Nike slogan, just do it. Isaac Asimov was one of my favorite authors. He died quite a long time ago, but many of you know of him because he was probably one of the most published people in the world. He was a scientist. He was all. Anyway, he was asked to write a book, and he wrote this particular book, and this was called Science, Numbers, and I. And I got a copy of this many years ago, back in the 70s. And when he contracted to write that book, he was asked to include a short biography of himself. And he tells about this, if I remember correctly, in the book. And he didn't know quite what to write. And the guy said, well, you know, just a short biography of yourself. Say something about yourself. This is what he wrote. I decided to get a PhD in chemistry, so I did. I decided to marry a certain girl, so I did. I decided to have two children, a boy and a girl. So I did. I don't know how he arranged that. I decided to write stories. So I did. I decided to write novels. So I did. I decided to write books on science. So I did. I decided to become a full-time writer. So I did. Period. That was his biography. Now think about this. Think about this, what he's saying. In my expression of life, am the decisions I made. We are all the decisions that we make, folks. Just some of us don't think about our decisions too much. Sometimes we don't have that sense of self that allows us to see beyond the kind of limitations that we so often allow to encroach upon us and stifle our own imagination and our own creativity. It doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or 100 years old. It doesn't matter whether you're beginning your career, or your career is coming to an end, at least that whatever career you happen to be in this moment. It doesn't matter whether you grew up privileged or impoverished. You have within you the incredible capacity and potential for being able to do things that you've never done before. That's what we're about. Well, how do I discover that? Well, first of all, if you've never taken any of our classes, take my class. In the bulletin is a little sheet. You can sign up. I got yours, Margaret. And you're already on the roster. Good. And it's wonderful. How many of you have had classes here? Let me see the show of hands. Okay, those of you that haven't, talk to some of those people that have to see the incredible value that they've gotten out of it. I want to end by reading something to you from a famous author's book.
What's that author's name again?
I'm too modest. This is one of the little lessons where I wrote this. When you wisely use the abilities you already have, your experience expands. Your intellectual abilities improve. Your intuition awakens. And all aspects of your life are enhanced. Let's come to center now for a short affirmative prayer, or spiritual mind treatment, in which we allow ourselves to open to the realization that there is one thing, only one thing, God, the universe, the infinite intelligence, the all, the it, call it whatever you want. I call it God. God is all there is. And out of this infinite something, this unlimited, boundless something that I called God, everything else issued forth into expression. The scientist talks about the Big Bang, but this is deeper. and more abstract than even that. But out of that came all of what we see, what we are, what we understand, what we know. And it goes back even farther than that. I am part of that. Everyone here is part of that. There is but one life, and that life is God, and that life is my life, and the life of everyone everywhere. And because of that, resident within me is all that I need. Within each of us is all that is needed to be fulfilled in ways that are consistent with the natural unfoldment, the evolutionary unfoldment of God through life in nature, as me, as everyone. In the realization of that, I know that the harmony, the balance, and the order that characterizes the universe must characterize me. And because this is so, I know that imbalance of any sort is not natural to me. So I declare right now that I am open to the harmonies of the universe, expressing in and through everything I do, everything I think, everything I am, and healing, that is, being made whole, becomes natural for me. And these words that I speak, I know for everyone right here and everyone I meet anywhere. Mother, Father, loving God, I am so grateful for the realization of this truth. I accept it as so now. I know that it is so. And together we declare, and so it is.